Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger DJ Southview Vince coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from the show. If you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Just want to say greetings to my listening audience out there. Hope today is finding you doing well. If you would like to call in, the guest call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, pay attention to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you are a person who likes to indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, random insults, excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Okay. We're not going to agree all the time. You know, we all going to have different point of views. Even those of us who seem to have the same point of view, we're going to disagree on some points. But that's one thing we need to keep in mind, okay? And if you think you can engage in the name calling and everything and stuff like that, let me just tell you, like I said on my Facebook page this past week, I'm as stubborn as a tick on the butt of a fat cow, okay? You're not going to scare me off with your name calling. You're not going to intimidate me. All you're going to do is strengthen my resolve. That's all you're going to do. So if you want me to get stronger in my viewpoints or whatever, you know, engage in your little character assassinations and straw man arguments and things like that, okay? But, you know, on this show, it will get you kicked off. And you may be vehemently against my point of view. I have no problem with that either, but just be respectful in stating your point of view, okay? Let me get this, okay. Get some things here. So you all, once again, you hear any background noise. Like I said, the walls of this apartment that I live in is kind of paper thin, so that's why you can hear the background noise. My wife likes to watch news programs. She's been on a crusade watching these truckers up in Canada, you know, fighting against the mask mandates. And she's been, it seems like every day I'm hearing horns honking and everything and stuff like that. And of course, we know why they're doing that, because they're getting sick and tired of the mandates and people not enjoying their freedoms like they should, and the government coming in and using these mandates to exercise control over the people, and those truckers are saying enough. And there's a rumor going on that the Super Bowl tomorrow might, you know, just might get an earful from truckers here in the U.S. You know, I'm not so sure. I think that's, well, like I said, right now, that's just a rumor, but, you know, it might come to pass, and, you know, the powers that be, they're panicking. Oh, what if they turn violent? Well, have you all noticed any burnings of businesses or anything since these truckers came out on the street? You know, they're trying to compare what's going on with the truckers. They're trying to compare that with January 6th of last year, you know, an insurrection. You know, people love to use that word, insurrection. You know, a lot of these people who talking about insurrection, they probably didn't know what that was until they read it in a dictionary one day. Ooh, insurrection, what's that? Oh, yeah, insurrection. Okay, yeah, we'll use that word. And they just use that word ad nauseum for the past year, for a little more than a year now. Insurrection. You know, the truckers, they're doing this, and it might turn violent. Ooh. But they don't say that when Black Lives Matter and Antifa get to doing their dirt. You know, they Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they're not violent. But the truckers, they haven't. Not one person has gotten killed. Not one business has been burned or anything, but they're the violent ones. They're the violent insurrectionists. But but that's what my wife has been watching for the past week or so. And, you know, a lot of times she'll yell at the TV and everything. I think it's cute. But she'll yell at the TV. And I'm like, honey, stop yelling at the TV. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. What I'm here to talk about today, before I go any further, let me give a shout out to some people. Right now, I see a 314 number in my queue, and I believe that is Pianchi. Shout out to him. And Bring It Boye, shout out to him, her, because sometimes it'll be the wife or whatever. So just want to give you guys a shout out. Hopefully more people will come on the program. If they don't, the show goes on. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about to you all today is something that you might see that's quite obvious, you know, and that's Black History Month. Black History, you know, of course, this is February, and we're smack dab in the middle of what they call Black History Month. Okay, thank you, Bring It Boye. But this is the time of the year where people, you know, they want to remember the achievements of Black people in history. Yada, 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 you know, things, the accomplishments and everything. And to be honest with you, I really don't have a problem with acknowledging the accomplishments of Black people. Now, some of you all might be out there saying, oh, it's because you're a Black man. No. I have no problem with it. The problem I have with Black History Month is when we have taken it out of regular history and we put it to the side, we monopolized it, and we made it, and we threw in the woke culture, and this is what we have in Black History Month today. You know, Black History Month has become a time to remember what the evil white people have done to us in history. That's basically what it is now. I've never been a fan of Black History Month, even when I was a kid in school and everything. I wasn't a fan of it. I never have been a fan of Black History Month. You know, our folks always pushing, oh, this is our history. Hey, it ain't my history. You know, it really isn't, you know. But, you know, it was always forced on us, oh, Black history, oh, you're Black and this is your heritage. And, you know, I used to get mad at my mom because, you know, during Black History Month, we always went to a church in Washington, D.C., the Asbury United Methodist Church, which was my grandmother's church, and they would have a program there, and I was like, man, I don't want to go to this mess, man. Gosh, they out there, oh, yeah, and the white man and the black man and all the men. And I didn't want to go through that. You know, and you know, you're sitting there like, oh, when's the time going to be over? You know, when's it going to be over, man, you know? And I was never a fan of Black History Month, never was. Now, if you celebrating, hey, you do you. But I've never been a fan of it, and I'm definitely not a fan of it today because of woke culture and how we use this to beat upon the head of white folks in this country. You know, just to give you a little heads up, let me go to the Wikipedia page. And folks, I know Wikipedia is a four-letter word to some people. And I understand that because I've seen some things in Wikipedia that have not been kosher, but you know, this was the best I could do to garner the history, to gather the history of Black History Month. And it says it is an annual observance originating in the United States, where it is also known as African American History Month. It has received official recognition from governments in the United States and Canada, and more recently has been observed in Ireland and the United Kingdom. It began as a way of remembering important people and events in the history of the African diaspora. It is celebrated in February in the United States and Canada, while in Ireland and the United Kingdom, let me read that again. It is celebrated in February in the United States and Canada, while in Ireland and the United Kingdom, it is observed in October. And I didn't know that until a few minutes ago that they observe it also in Ireland and the United Kingdom and Canada. I thought it was just a U.S. observance, you know, because, you know, they always say the U.S. is so evil against black people and stuff like that. But I didn't know it was celebrated elsewhere but the United States. But the precursor to Black History Month was created in 1926 in the United States when historian Carter G. Woodson and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History announced the second week of February to be Negro History Week. This week was chosen because it coincided with the birthday of Abraham Lincoln on February 12th and that of Frederick Douglass on February 14th, both of which dates black communities had celebrated together since the late 19th century, which is funny because now Abraham Lincoln is largely demonized by the black crowd. But I digress. Let me go on. Negro History Week was the center of the equation. The thought process behind the week was never recorded, but scholars acknowledge two reasons for its birth, recognition and importance. Woodson felt deeply that at least one week would allow for the general movement to become something annually celebrated. Also, after the 10-year-long effort to successfully complete his Journal of Negro History, he realized the subject deserved to resonate with a greater audience. Let me go on. Uh-oh. Missed something there. Get all my stuff here and this carpet. Okay, there we go. Early in the event's history, African American newspapers lent crucial support. From the event's initial phase, primary emphasis was placed on encouraging the coordinated teaching of the history of black Americans in the nation's public schools. The first Negro History Week was met with a lukewarm response, gaining the cooperation of the Departments of Education of the states of North Carolina, Delaware, and West Virginia, as well as the city school administrations of Baltimore and Washington, D.C. Despite this far from universal observance, the event was regarded by Woodson as one of the most fortunate steps ever taken by the association, and plans for a repeat of the event on an annual basis continued apace. At the time of Negro History Week's launch, Woodson contended that the teaching of black history was essential to ensure the physical and intellectual survival of the race within broader society. If a race has no history, it has no worthwhile tradition. It becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. The American Indian left no continuous record. He did not appreciate the value of tradition. And where is he today? The Hebrew keenly appreciated the value of tradition and is attested by the Bible itself. In spite of worldwide persecution, therefore, he is a great factor in our civilization. Even though most Jews, the Jewish nation is derided by your typical black person. By 1929, the Journal of Negro History was able to note that with only two exceptions, officials with the state departments of education of every state with considerable Negro population had made the event known to that state's teachers and distributed official literature associated with the event. Churches also played a significant role in the distribution of literature in association with Negro History Week during this initial interval, with the mainstream and black press aiding in the publicity effort. Throughout the 1930s, Negro History Week countered the growing myth of the South's lost cause, as epitomized in both the novel and the film Gone with the Wind. That myth argued that slaves had been well treated, that the Civil War was a war of Northern aggression, and that black people had been better off under slavery. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. Woodson wrote in his book, The Miseducation of an American Negro, you do not have to tell him not to stand here or go yonder. He will find his quote-unquote proper place and will stay in it. Keep that in mind. Negro History Week grew in popularity throughout the following decades, with mayors across the United States endorsing it as a holiday. Black History Month in the United States, 1970. Black History Month was first proposed by black educators and the Black United Students at Kent State University in 1969. The first celebration of Black History Month took place at Kent State a year later, from January 2nd to February 28th, 1970. Black History Month, that's Black History Months. That's like 2 months. 6 years later, Black History Month was being celebrated all across the country in educational institutions, centers of black culture, and community centers, both great and small, when President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month in 1976 during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial. He urged Americans to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. In the black community, Black History Month was met with enthusiastic response and prompted the creation of black history clubs, an increase in interest among teachers, and interest from progressive whites. Yeah, of course, from the progressive whites. Yeah. On February 21st, 2016, 106-year-old Washington, D.C. resident and school volunteer Virginia McLaurin visited the White House as part of Black History Month. When asked by President Barack Obama why she was there, McLaurin said, "A black president, a black wife, and I'm here to celebrate black history. That's what I'm here for." Okay, now let me go back a couple of phrases here. It says, President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month in 1976 during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial. You all ever notice a lot of the freedoms that we as black people enjoy in this country has been instigated by a Republican? You never see it instigated by someone who's a Democrat. It's always a Republican. But then the black folk turn around and say the Republicans are responsible for racism in this country. They're the racists and everything. So they basically bite the hand. They bite the hand that feeds them. They don't appreciate the accomplishments of the Republicans. You never hear them say, "We appreciate you for pushing voting rights acts or trying to integrate us or anything." They never give credit to the Republicans. And if you ask your average black person, they would act like, you know, the Democrats have always supported black people, which they have not. Now, keep in mind, in the 1860s, the Republicans nominated and elected the first black people to Congress in the 1860s. When was the first time the Democrats nominated a black person into their ranks? 1935. So when it comes to so-called civil rights, the Republicans were way ahead of the Democrats. But it was always the Republicans, the freedoms that we enjoy as a black society today was enacted by Republicans. And the Democrats just came by later, took advantage of it. They dressed it up a certain way, and now they're taking credit for what the Republicans had already done. Now, like I said, I don't celebrate Black History Month. I don't celebrate it once. And once again, I'm not a legalist or anything. You celebrate it, that's fine and whatever. If I were to have a church or a school or whatever, I wouldn't even put it in the curriculum. Let that sink in a little bit. But I don't think we need to celebrate Black History Month today. I really don't. Now, don't get me wrong. Please, please, people, do not get me wrong. There was a point in time where the accomplishments of black people were to be celebrated, because back in the time of Jim Crow, black people were being held back as being inferior to white people. We couldn't get the job done. You know, white people were the more industrious. Black people weren't, you know, black people weren't as dedicated and whatever, even though they went through 200 something years of slavery. And you know, the racist white folk back then, they were like, you know, nah, black people, they won't serve well in combat until the Tuskegee Airmen proved that wrong. They're not as industrious workers as white people are, even though during most of the time of Jim Crow, black people made up the higher percentage of people who got jobs, who would work. Oh boy, how the times have changed. For a significant portion of time, the race of people that would stay married, that would get married and stay married, were black people. They had stronger families. Of course, this day and age, that ain't so. And you have people today talking about, you know, well, the white people don't want us to do this and yada, 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 and that's why we can't get ahead. But we had more adversity against us during Jim Crow, and we were more successful during Jim Crow than we are today. Now, someone try to figure that out. I remember a presidential lady tried to run for president, Michelle Bachmann. She made the statement that black people, during the times of slavery, their families were more intact than they are today. People wanted to twist their words around and say, well, if we go back to slavery, then black people will get their act straight. That's not what she was saying. She was stating a historical fact that during slavery and Jim Crow, our families were more intact. Our families were geared toward more towards education. We believe in presenting ourselves in a presentable manner in order to gain a job or whatever, which is totally different than what you see today. See, you didn't see the baggy pants back in Jim Crow. Back then, kids, the black students, the black girls, they looked respectable. The black boys would dress up in nice slacks and shirts and ties, even though I don't like ties. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I digress. But they dressed in nice slacks. They dress shoes. They dressed themselves in a respectable fashion. But the Great Society messed all that up. Lyndon Baines Johnson, he messed all that up. But we were more respectable during Jim Crow and slavery than we are today. But we still want to blame the white man for our shortcomings today. in a way, blaming the white man has a point, in a way. And when I say that, I'm only talking about white liberals. White liberals are trying to hold black people back. And they're trying to hold us back by saying that we are more dependent on the government. We need, the only way we can get ahead is if we depend on the government to help us to get ahead. And the people who push that rhetoric are white liberals. And yeah, sister saying blacks had pride back in the day, the way they presented themselves, not today. These people look a hot mess. They certainly do. They most certainly do. Now, let me tell you all something. I'm not a person who likes to dress in a tie because I think a tie is just a colored piece of cloth that hangs around your neck and cuts off your circulation. But 2 years ago, I wanted to get me a job. I wanted to get a better job than where I was working at. And so they said, I got called in. They said, Vincent, we're going to have this interview with you such and such a day. I said, okay, cool. For the first time in 11 years, I found myself putting on a necktie. Like I said, I don't like wearing ties, but this day I was going to wear a necktie. You know why? Because I wanted to get this job. And I went to the place, did the interview, and I noticed there were two younger people after me. I get a phone call later that day, Vincent, you got the job. Now, this was right when COVID was starting. And I was like, man, thank the Lord. You know, I had to give glory to God for that, definitely. But there were two younger people. They both of them looked like they were in their 20s. And here I am. Here I am north of 50. And I got the job over these two younger people. Because, see, I know what to do in order to get a job. I'm not going to sit there and be like, yo, we living in a different time. Hey, I'm going to have my tattoos. I'm going to have my piercings. I'm going to have my pants hanging off my butt, and they better accept me. Nah, I wouldn't accept you either. You need to look respectful. You need to look respectable. And see, I'm somewhat old school. Even though I don't like the requirements in order to get a job, you doggone straight, I'm going to adopt those requirements in order to get a job. But there was a time when black people, they cared about their respectability. They cared about their look. They cared about their manners. But this day and age, they don't care about any of that stuff. And don't you dare tell them that they're being rude. I see it all the time. The white man this and the white man that and the white man this, but you're your own problem. The white man is not holding you back. You're holding yourself back. You're the main reason why you cannot make it ahead. You always want to, we look at the prison population. We want to say, oh, we got more black people in prison, statistically speaking, than white people are. That's a sign of institutional racism. No, it's a sign of a lot of black people don't want to follow the law. That's what that is. Because if that's the case, then I should have been in prison. I've never been in prison. The only time I've really been inside of a jailhouse was when I was with this group and we were preaching to the prisoners. That's the only time I've been inside a jailhouse. I've never been arrested and put in jail. And it's not because I know how to dodge the system and weave in and out and everything and know how to juke the system. No, uh-uh. A lot of black people are in jail today. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of people in jail today who don't belong there, and it's not just black people. But a lot of black people are in jail today because they're stupid. I'm not going to put a fine point on it. You're stupid. The law says this, but you want to go against the law, and that's why you end up in prison. But you want to blame the white man. Oh, that's institutional racism. So can someone point out to me specifically where the institutional racism is that is keeping black people from gaining an upper hand in today's society? Someone show it to me. Someone show me the law. Point it out to me specifically. Don't go around, oh, it's institutional racism. Institutional racism. There's stuff built into our laws that are disadvantaged for black people. Okay, show it to me. Present it to me. Because I haven't seen it. Well, when the Constitution was written and it says all men are created equal, or in the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that was during a time when black people weren't equal. Yeah, but it led to them being equal. The Declaration of Independence, and the Constitutional, let me say this here. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution led to black men being freed. Because now the standard was laid there and everyone's like, okay, we're saying all men are created equal. What about these black people who are being held against their will in hard bondage and slavery? And of course, because of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, it set a course, a chain reaction that led to black people eventually being free. Of course, in this war, in this country, we fought a war to help to free the slaves. In most countries, slavery was ended without firing a shot. When I read the Declaration of Independence and it says that all men are created equal, I believe that includes me too, as a black person.
Well, when it was written, it didn't mean us.
Well, then, if you feel that way about it, why don't you pack your bags and go to a country where you feel like you'll be equal? I mean, it's simple. Why are you sitting here whining and complaining about what white people are doing to hold you back? And you're talking like you can't get ahead because a white man at every front is holding you back. Why don't you just go ahead and leave this country and go somewhere else? Because basically, the way you're talking, it's a lost cause. It's a lost cause to you. If it's a lost cause, then go to a country where you feel better. No one's holding you back. We don't have machine guns and barbed wire and concrete fences holding you in. Go to a country where you'll feel happy. Or go back to the African nations and see how well they'll accept you. But I love it here. And I tell people I'm an American.
Well, you know, you got some ancestry that come from Africa.
Okay, well, I probably do, but I'm a black American, and I love being an American. Red, white, and blue all day and every day, baby. You want to go to Africa with the lions and the tsetse fly and all that? Okay, you have at it. Enjoy yourself. We're already seeing certain examples, you know, because of the Olympics, the Olympic Games that are going on in Beijing, the Genocide Olympics that are going on right now. We're seeing an example of several people who were American and they gave up their citizenship, and now they're inadvertently regretting getting rid of their American citizenship. I'm not going to go into detail. Yeah, I'm a coon. You know what? I think I'm going to get me a T-shirt with a raccoon on it. And on the back of it, say, Coons of the World Unite. And folks, if you all don't know Yahweh Kai 7, that's my sister, Retta Washington. You know, she jokes like that a lot. She's being sarcastic. That's all. So don't y'all get your panties in a bind.
What? She calling Vincent a coon? Oh, she's one of them black.
No, she's not. Trust me. She definitely is not. But we sit here, we complain, we whine, we complain. Oh, white people are holding us back. We can't get ahead. We go through this every day. Speak for yourself, Kimasabi. Speak for yourself, because what you are saying that we are going through on a daily basis, I don't know what you're talking about, because I don't go through it. And if you would really be honest with yourselves, now I don't know what your experiences are. I don't know what you go through on a daily basis, but I'm willing to bet if you would be honest with yourself, you will realize you're not going through what you say you're going through. I'd be willing to bet. Yeah, crabs in a barrel. Yep, that's exactly what we do to each other. Crabs in a barrel. Because someone like me has escaped the plantation. Massa, you know, I left Massa. But those of you all who keep pushing these talking points and these narratives that the white man is holding you back, you're the ones who are still on the plantation. Oh, no, Massa going to feed me. Massa going to give me free health care. Oh, Massa going to give me free handouts. Massa going to give me free housing. Instead of working to earn what you get. Oh, Massa is good to me. Massa going to give me this. Massa. And the Democrats are sitting there like, they used to call us Massa in the past. Now they're back to calling us Massa in the present. Sounds pretty good. And that's why they always dress up themselves every election cycle as the ones who are pushing for black freedoms and everything, because all they care about is getting your vote. That's all they care about. And so every time the Democrats run for office or whatever, they already have a captive audience. They already have a guaranteed group that's always going to vote for them, and that's black people. Upwards of 90% of black people, they know they're going to get their vote every time. You know why? Because they're playing on a lot of black people's stupidity. That's what they're playing on. And sis is saying, what bothers me the most are professing Christians who keep bringing up slavery. Sis, you and I think alike, because it really frustrates me to no end when I hear these people bringing up slavery and talking about institutional racism and what the white man has done to us. So-called black Christians. We're supposed to be a light to the world. What about the scripture that tells us to press towards the prize of the high calling? I don't understand why blacks keep bringing up issues they never experienced. It boggles my mind. It boggles mine too. I was watching a series on Salem Now. It's an app on my TV where you can get these documentaries, and it talks about the churches are getting woke now. They're adopting this woke culture into the churches. This is the main reason why black people can't get ahead, because a lot of us hold our reverends and our ministers on a high platform. And see, this is one of the main reasons why I have somewhat against Martin Luther King Jr., because when he came on the scene, he talked about, you know, and I have no problem. I really don't have a problem with him doing what he did, but a lot of people took what he did a lot of black people took what he did, and they're like, okay, that's the gospel. No, that's not the gospel. What Martin Luther King Jr. preached during the civil rights era, that was not the gospel. It was probably needed, don't get me wrong, but it was not the gospel. And we think if we speak along those lines, we have to talk about social justice issues and the evils of the white man and things like that, and we think that is preaching the gospel, and it is not. And Pianki says, thank God for slavery. Look at where I'm at today. Shouldn't that be a rallying cry? You got a good point there, Pianki. You got a very great point there. And I tell people a lot of what people are complaining about, they say, when we get pulled over, the police officer has his hand on his gun. I've never had that problem. Not one time when I've gotten pulled over did I see the police officer with his hand on his gun. Not one time. And I'm as black as they come. I'm not light-skinned or anything. When you see me, you see my picture, you, he's a black guy. Or going into a white neighborhood and police just show up out of nowhere. Hey there, boy, what you doing in this neighborhood? I've never had that problem. And if you would be honest with yourself, like I said, I don't know what your experience or what you've gone through or whatever. If you would be honest with yourselves, you ain't go through it either. I'd be willing to bet you didn't go through it either. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm just saying it doesn't happen as often as we make it seem like. We just play it up. We embellish it. We embellish little incidents and say, oh, this is because this person was black. That's the reason why, oh, George Floyd, he was killed because he was black. No, he was killed because you had an incompetent police officer stick his knee in his neck for about 9 minutes. And the proof even points towards Derek Chauvin didn't really kill George Floyd. He had a fatal amount of fentanyl in his system. But we want to keep pushing that rhetoric that, oh, it was because he was black. Those guys that are on trial now for the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, the only reason why that has come to trial, because now I'm going to tell you, those guys that encountered Ahmaud Arbery, they weren't thinking. They weren't thinking. They confronted him. If it was me, I would have been like, okay, we got this guy. Okay, we're going to follow him, but we're going to call the police. And, you know, and they wanted to they wanted to interact with him. And because of the way things happen, you know, hey, you got these two white guys, they got shotguns, they're in a pickup truck, and they just harassed this dude who was just out jogging. And that's the only image that we want to see. Oh, these white men in a pickup truck with shotguns. Oh, that conjures up memories of Jim Crow. So these guys were out to kill them, a black man. And that's why those guys are on trial right now, because that's what it appeared. That's what people want to believe. Same thing with Breonna Taylor. I don't know how in the world people get Breonna Taylor mixed up with this. Breonna Taylor, you know, people come out when we had that incident with Breonna Taylor, they were like, oh, she was sleeping while black. Oh, they just saw a peaceful sleeping black woman through her window and saw her sleeping peacefully, and they decided to shoot her. That's what they want you to think. But it turns out her boyfriend fired a gunshot, hit one of the cops in the leg, could have killed the cop. But then they returned fire. And for some reason, Breonna Taylor may have been used as a shield by her boyfriend. I'm not sure. They won't go into the details about that. They want to leave those details out. But she ended up getting killed. Her boyfriend didn't even get a mark on him. He was the one that fired. But we, you know, but we want to say, oh, they just did this because she was black. I forgot that girl that got killed because she was about to stab another girl. I forgot her name. But they were trying to say, oh, she got killed because she was black. I mean, but we saw distinctly the knife in her hand, and she had that knife in a motion that she was going to jab that knife into that other girl. That's why the police officer shot her. I guarantee you, if the girls had been white, they would have reacted the same way. You ain't got no time to think about, you know, that's a split-second decision. You ain't going to sit there and say, oh, she's black? Okay, let me shoot her. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, she's white? Oh, no, I'm not going to shoot her. Oh, she stabbed? Oh, my goodness. Get on your knees. I saw you stab. That's how they think the police respond. If it's a black person, he's going to get killed. Even though we have so many examples of black people getting caught in their dirt and they have not been killed. But they keep saying, oh, if a black person was in the same situation a white person is in, he's going to get killed. Show me one example. Show me one example. We always want to, we throw these vague statements out, but we don't specify where this is the case. We never specify it. We never say specifically, okay, well, this case here and then this case, you know, or we'll take something like, you know, what's his name, Dylan Roof, and we say the police took him to Burger King. Okay, so how many white murderers have they taken to Burger King? Y'all just want to harp on that one incident and say they took him to Burger King. Well, they were doing police procedure. Like the police said, hey, yeah, we got this guy, yeah. He's a murderer. What's his name? Name Dylan Roof. Okay, we're bringing him in, but before we bring him in, there's a Burger King on the way, so we're going to stop by there and let him get whatever he wants. That's a good pin for. No, they didn't just say, oh, okay, Dylan, here we are at Burger King. Get whatever you want off the menu. They do that with everybody. They do that with everybody. Everybody who gets arrested or whatever, they feed them. Because they believe that if you go ahead and feed them, they might be more cooperative in the interrogation. But they just want to push that and say, oh, yeah, if it was a black person, he would have gotten killed. But a white person, he gets taken to Burger King. And can anyone tell me Dylan Roof's status right now? Can anyone elaborate on what status Dylan Roof finds himself in right now? Dylan Roof is on death row. Yes, this white person is on death row for the murder of 9 black people. Now, I don't like how they carry out death row because I'm like this. If they say, okay, you're guilty. You're being put on death row. I'm like this. Excuse me. Death row should be enacted immediately. Like when a person gets sentenced to jail and they get sentenced to a life term, they don't wait no 24 years for him to start serving his life term. He serves it immediately. Now, if you're given death row, I would give you no more than a week. A month, I might be like, yeah, well, a month is okay. But 24 years? No, uh-uh. I'd make it immediate. And you know what? I guarantee you, if they start making the crime, you know, if a person's on death row and they execute that sentence immediately, I guarantee you. I don't have the proof, but I can guarantee you that crime will plummet, will nosedive all overnight. Wait a minute, these men, they ain't playing, boy. Yeah, that boy got death row. He got death row 4 days ago, and 4 days later, they took him to the firing squad. And no, I don't believe in lethal injection either. Firing squad hanging, piranha pit, lion pit, rabid German shepherd. I'm being funny, folks. Except for the firing squad and the hanging. And just like a person that I used to look up to used to say, he said, I think they should make it public. Do it in the downtown area of the city. Bring your children and say, this man's going to hang because he murdered 5 people in his family. And bring your children to it. Show it on TV. And I guarantee you, crime will plummet. But see, we're always making the comparisons with something we shouldn't be comparing it with. See, we always talk about the white cops killing black people, but we don't talk about black people killing other black people. We don't talk about that. We talk about, oh, our lives in danger. These white cops out here, oh, I'm scared for my life. Oh, but you're not scared for your life in the projects? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the chances of you getting killed by a police officer are far remote compared to your chances of getting killed by another black person. And I need to look up the statistic, but I think it's 95% of black people who are murdered by another person, they're murdered by another black person. But we always want to talk about the cops. We always want to talk about what the cops are doing and everything. But we don't talk about the black people who murder other black people. We don't talk about that. Oh, that, no, black lives don't matter then. They only matter when a white person does it. But it's relatively few white people out there murdering black people. Black people are murdering each other. And folks, don't bring up this white on white thing. Don't bring up this white on white crime and all this. Well, what about white on white crime? You're missing the point. All you're trying to do is diverge from the bigger issue. And the bigger issue is black on black crime. And we're comparing black on black crime to white police officer on black crime. And a way bigger situation is a black on black crime. So don't even come up with the white on white crime. Why don't you talk about white on white crime? I'll tell you why I don't talk about it. Because black people are killing more black people than white people are killing black people. Black people are killing more black people than Hispanic are killing black people. Black people are killing more black people than white cops are killing black people. That's why. Now, why don't you all go out and march about that? Why don't you all put that on international news? Jasmine Barnes, a few years ago, little girl, 7, 8 years old, she gets shot. The family says, oh, it was a white guy in a red pickup truck. It turned out it was two black guys. Shot and killed a little cute little black girl. Sheila Jackson Lee was getting her engines revved up. Sheila Jackson Lee was like, yeah, we got these white folks now. And then find out, oh, okay. Well, you police did your jobs. Okay. Nothing to see here. Someone ought to snatch that bird nest off her head. This is the reason why. This is the reason why I don't celebrate Black History Month. Now, like I said, if you want to celebrate and everything and the accomplishments of black people and everything, I don't think we need to celebrate them the way we do today like we did back in the Jim Crow time. Back then, it was a necessity, really, to show people, hey, look at what this black person did. You know, the George Washington Carvers and folks like that. The Booker T. Washingtons and everything. Back then, it was needful for us to put black accomplishments out there because white people were holding us down. And when I say white people, not all white people. And I don't want to get on the bad side of my white brothers and sisters because I don't want them to think that I think that white people did, you know. And I'll go so far to say this. It wasn't most white people that were committing these horrendous acts of terror against black people. It wasn't. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for white people, we black people wouldn't be where we are today. Because our own efforts weren't going to help us. More black babies aborted than born in New York City. We don't talk about that. Now, you want to talk about genocide? This is your genocide right there. More black babies aborted than born in New York City. Thank you for that, Pianchi. And see, here's something that boggles my mind too. I don't understand why black people support abortion. I don't understand why these black liberal politicians support Planned Parenthood. I do not understand it. Now, you want to talk about brainwashing? You all do know that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, She hated black people. Matter of fact, she initiated a project called the Negro Project, in which she went to the various churches, black churches, because she realized, hey, wait a minute. Black folks, these black church leaders exhibit a high level of influence over the black population. She studied you. She studied us. Said these black preachers, they're a big influence in the black communities. Why don't I go in there and convince them that if they will learn proper contraceptive methods, then they'll tell it to their congregations, and then black people won't have as many babies as they have been having, and then this will help to purify the pure Aryan race. The Negro Project. Look it up. Look up the Negro Project. And tell me, when you read the Negro Project and you learn about that murderous witch named Margaret Sanger, if you should be supporting Planned Parenthood. Oh, but we more concerned, you know, the cops are genociding us. No, they're not. I would, even though I don't have the exact statistic, I would dare say that less than 20 black people are killed a year by the police. Much less than 20. But 1,500 black babies, almost on a daily basis, are murdered by Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm not trying to make this out to be a black situation, because Planned Parenthood, no matter who it touches, black, white, Hispanic, red, whatever, it's a murderous organization, and it needs to be stopped. It needs to be shut down. But why black people support this murderous organization? It's almost like they're you know, hey, you know, let's give you some money and murder more of our black people. But we want to sit here and we want to point the blame of why our black people are disappearing on the white man. Well, in a way, once again, white liberals. And of course, we know about Kermit. What is his name? Kermit Gosnell. He was black. I need to look up Kermit Gosnell. I think they got a documentary or something on him. I need to look that up, because they said what he did was horrendous. And this was a black guy. And why black people lock, stock, and barrel support an organization like Planned Parenthood is beyond me. But anyway, I'm going to stop it right there and get in with the advertisements. And when I'm done, I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil field and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call, because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. Conservative Nation Media is growing, and what better way to grow than to bring our own Uncle Bing Fisher back with his great show, American by Design. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his love of America back to CNM with American by Design, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, working to get ourselves back to 7 days a week, where now we have the weekends filled, ending with one of the oldest shows on CNM, with Bing's mellow voice giving you the wisdom that America is craving today. That's American by Design on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I don't know how that happened, but welcome back to the show, everybody. Once again, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. 646-478-5284. And Pianchi left me something very interesting in my chat room. He said, convicted Philadelphia abortion doctor gets life in prison. This is Kermit Gosnell. The Philadelphia abortion provider who was found guilty of first-degree murder and three illegally performed late-term abortions will be spared the death penalty. Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who was convicted Monday, agreed Tuesday to give up his right to an appeal. This is from several years ago, so, you know, just in case you all know, this is not real recent. This was... what was it, 4, 5, 6 years ago? He faces life in prison. Prosecutors agreed to two life sentences without parole, and Gosnell was to be sentenced Wednesday in the death of the third baby, an involuntary manslaughter conviction in the death of a patient, and hundreds of lesser counts. Not only did babies die on the abortion table, but some of the babies' mothers died. Prosecutors had sought the death penalty because Gosnell killed more than one person, and his victims were especially vulnerable given their age. But Gosnell's own advanced age had made it unlikely he would ever be executed before his appeals ran out. Gosnell had run his clinic in Philadelphia for some 30 years. When federal agents raided his Women's Medical Society clinic in 2010 in search of drug violations, they found what they described as deplorable and unsanitary conditions, including aborted fetuses in jars. The conviction has both sides of the abortion debate gearing up for what's next. As NPR's Julie Rovner wrote in our Shots blog Tuesday, the irony of this case is that those on both sides of the debate were hoping for a conviction. That's because what Kermit Gosnell means to the abortion debate really comes down to this. Was he an outlier, or are there more abortion providers like him who just haven't been discovered yet? Abortion rights backers insist he's an exception. But opponents of abortion rights, Julie noted, say Gosnell is anything but an exception. And Pianchi left the link to that story in the chat page, and I would advise you to go ahead and read that. And, you know, like I said before the break, I don't understand why black people choose to support the likes of Planned Parenthood. I know of a lot of black people who are against abortion. And when they say they're against abortion, let me just say that. But when they heard Barack Obama say that Planned Parenthood is going to have a friend in the White House, they totally ignored it because they wanted to vote for the black man. They wanted to vote for the black man because, you know, hey, I want to be a part of history. You know, black man, which Barack Obama is not black. His wife might be, but he's not. Barack Obama is not black. But they heard that they were, you know, I mean, they sit there in the churches and they shout hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, all these years and everything. Then when it came time for a liberal black man who said he's going to support the likes of Planned Parenthood, oh, they were like, oh, okay, that's okay, but we're going to vote for you because you're black. And that's what they did. Hook, line, and sinker, bought the whole thing. Just threw out their Christianity. Just threw it out. Oh, I'm voting for the black man because he's He's going to unite the races. You know why we're in the mess we're in today? Because Barack Obama stirred all those fires up again. That's why we find ourselves in the state we are in today. But y'all just voted for him. Y'all didn't care about his policies or anything. He was a liberal. He was a liberal, and he was a so-called black man. And that, to you all, that was the perfect storm. And it was like, oh, man, I got to vote for him. Because not only is he a liberal, but he's a black liberal. So Barack Obama, most perfect candidate ever, because he's black and liberal. And see, the reason why I say that, because they didn't just vote for him because he was a black man. Because I guarantee you, if Herman Cain was on the stage, they wouldn't have taken too kindly to Herman Cain. And all you had to do is look at the example of Clarence Thomas. I was watching something about Clarence Thomas yesterday, and they said Clarence Thomas is controversial. I said, why is he controversial? The only reason why he's controversial, because he's black and conservative. That's it. It isn't, has nothing to do with what he believes in, or is he's black and conservative. That's the only reason why Clarence Thomas is controversial. And see, the same thing, they would have said the same thing about Herman Cain. Oh, he says he's black. He really ain't black. Man, I'm going to tell you all right now. I'm going to say it right now. I think Herman Cain would have been the best president ever. Yes, better than Donald Trump. And that's saying a lot. But I believe Herman Cain would have been the best president. When I first heard Herman Cain's voice on radio in 2008, and I was listening to him talk, I was like, wait a minute. This guy needs to be president. And then I found out he was a black guy. I was like, oh, my goodness. Are you serious? He would have been the best president ever. But, of course, he didn't get that chance because people want to demonize him because he's black and he's conservative, which makes him a coon, an Oreo, a sellout, an Uncle Tom, a Uncle Ruckus. So we can't have that person. He's not the right kind of black person. But a lot of people, they voted for Barack Obama because they said, oh, yeah, I want to be a part of history in electing the first black man into the White House. But let that have been Herman Cain. They wouldn't have been so enthusiastic to vote for him. And you can quote me on that. I guarantee you they wouldn't have been as enthusiastic. But he would have been the best president. Give me a second here, folks. Give me a second. Okay. Hopefully you all can still hear me. Yeah, Barack Obama gave out them cell phones. Yeah, boy. Yeah. All right. He gave out the cell phones. That Obama phone. But anyway. Oh, shoot. Oh, folks, give me another second. Ugh. Okay, all right. Sorry about that. Dropped my microphone. Okay. All right. Mr. Garding. Yeah, I would have wanted the first black man to be a great president, not a horrible one. And that's why I didn't vote for Barack Obama. You know, that's why I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for him either time. Because, see, I didn't fall for the ruse. You know, people, oh, Barack Obama, and they playing him up on the news. And see, this is the reason why I tell people. This is the main reason why I tell people, you all stop listening to the news. Stop letting these people dupe you, because I listen to people talking. I'm like, you've been duped by the news. You think the news media is going to tell you what you need to hear? No, they're not. They might tell you what you want to hear, but they're not going to tell you what you need to hear. But see, I didn't fall for it because I learned my lesson back in the 90s about the news media. They're not your friend. And yes, they are the biggest enemy to the American people today, just like Donald Trump said. They are the biggest enemy. They are the biggest enemy to the American public today. It's crazy mess, folks. This is crazy mess that's going on in our country today. And we keep on, you know, oh yeah, the news media. We hear it on the news because we are intellectually and mentally lazy. And we sit here and we listen to them and we don't do any research on our free time or anything. We just listen to them and we just buy what they say, hook, line, and sinker. And that's why they have a guaranteed population that's going to vote for them every time, and that's black folks. Because a lot of us black folks, we just want to sit around and I'm not saying this about every black person. I'm not even saying it about most black people, but it's too many of you out there who buy into this mess about free stuff and the government's going to do this for me and the government's going to do that for me. And then y'all go out to the polls and you all keep inviting these people to be your leaders and everything, and nothing gets better. Tell me, how much better have things gotten since the 60s? Y'all keep on voting Democrats into office. What have they done for you? Absolutely nothing. Not a ripped pair of jeans worth of anything have they done for you. But y'all keep voting for them because you keep getting caught up in their talk and their charisma. And next thing you know, oh, and then you want to blame the Republicans. You want to blame the Republicans for the very thing that the Democrats have done. Last year when we had that atrocity in Afghanistan, people want to blame Donald Trump. That wasn't Trump's fault. Well, what Trump did in his service, it led to, no, it didn't. Trump believed in an exit strategy. Joe Biden was like, hey, I just want to get them out because I want the American sea. I got them out. Yeah, but you left people over there. You left our supplies over there. And now they're marching our supplies down in parades and everything. And now, and just like I said, just like I predicted, they're taking our stuff and they're selling it to the highest bidder. Who? Hey, we got this American stuff right here. How much you want for it? How much you want for it? And I can guarantee you some of them people that they selling the military equipment that we left over, I guarantee you some of them are Chinese too.
Yeah, every time I try to call him like that.
That's my wife in the background. Hey, sweetie. Sweetie, she doesn't know. Hey, yeah, yeah, that's my sweetie. She can get passionate sometimes, but that's okay. That's all right. You know, I'm glad I have a wife that, you know, has the same point of view that I do. You know, being, and she's from Africa. You know, so. She knows what the deal is. She was in her country with the civil wars and everything. So she knows what the deal is. And she will tell you the people that gave us problems in Liberia were not white people. They were black people. But I don't allow the news media to form my thinking. I don't care if you are conservative news media. I don't allow you to form my point of view. You know, I just don't, because I like to think for myself. I don't like someone to do the thinking for me and sit around and just, hey, you do your, you do the thinking for me. They're going to do the thinking for you. They're going to do their thinking for you. They're going to have you thinking what they want you to think. And that's the problem with our news media. And some of you all, I can tell you this till I'm blue in the face, you still don't get it. You still don't get it. And I'm not talking to the people who are on the show right now or the people in my chat room. I'm talking to those of you all who might be listening in the archives. But you still don't get it. And you don't realize that you are being used. Black people, you're being used. You're being used. That's why they're trying to push this critical race theory. They're trying to use black folks. Say, oh, okay, yeah, black folks. Hey, see, we got critical race theory now. We got this now. Critical race theory. Yeah, we got to push it on the kids. Oh, we're not teaching critical race theory. Yes, you are. You've been teaching it. Even before critical race theory even became a thing, you were teaching it. Trying to kiss up the white to the black folks so they can give you more votes. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. And black folks, you're just being used and you don't even know it. You're still on the plantation. They're making mental slaves out of you because you don't want to think for yourselves. You don't want to think for yourself because it's too much work to think for yourself. It gives you a headache. You feel like your brain is going to explode or some crazy mess like that. I should have played that recording of Morgan Freeman when he said he didn't want a Black History Month. You know, even though Morgan Freeman he's still somewhat woke himself, but he said he doesn't want a Black History Month. And I agree with him. I say I don't want a Black History Month either. Why do we need a Black History Month? Why don't we have Indian History Month? You know, Native American History Month, Jewish History Month. Why don't we have White History Month? Oh, we already have White History Month. We've been taught white history for 11 months. We need a... Yeah, right. Okay. But you know what? I live in the freest country in the world today. I can learn Black history at any time. I don't need a month to understand Black history, because Black history is part of all history. I can't just take Black history, snip it out of normal history, put it to the side, and dress it up and sprinkle it with the woke nonsense and everything, and make it all of my own. No, it's part of all history. It interacts. So I can learn about Black history in January, in March, in April, in May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. I don't need a month. And to be honest with you, I don't think anybody who doesn't want to hear about Black history, I don't think they need to be forced to hear about it. If you don't want to hear about Black history, then okay. And you can say about those people whatever you want to, but they shouldn't be made, if they don't want to learn about Black history, then don't force it on them. Now, when I read about Black history, I see a lot of interesting figures. How many of y'all know about Hiram Revels or any of the black men that were first elected to Congress back in the 1800s? How many of y'all ever hear about their names being pushed around on Black History Month? Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I was ignorant to the fact that we had black men in Congress in the 1800s. I didn't learn that until about 20-something, no? Yeah, probably about 20-something years ago. If that long ago. I was in church one day. And the pastor put up a picture of these, I forget how many men it was, 7 or 9 men. He said, you know who these guys were? You know who these guys are? These guys were elected to Congress in the 1800s. I'm sitting there like, really? But they don't push that during Black History Month. How are you going to push the history of some black people, but not all black people? Because you know why? We gotta keep the narrative fresh here. You know, we gotta keep pushing the narrative that white people are holding down black people, and that the Democrats are the only friend of the black person. And then when the word gets out that, hey, wait a minute, the Republicans were helping out black people back in the day. Black people were mostly Republican. Oh yeah. During the 60s, the party switched. They didn't switch. You mean to tell me You mean to tell me I'm a racist Democrat? Can't stand black people. Can't stand them. Can't stand them. Black person comes over, declares his love for the Democrat Party. You say, what? A black man in the Democrat Party? Let me lead this party and go to the Republicans. Why are you going to go to the Republicans? They don't hate black people. But you're a hater of black people, but you're going to the Republicans, and they don't even hate black people. It doesn't make any sense. Why are you going to the enemy? And then, oh, the party switched. Now, y'all just want to keep us buying into the rhetoric that the Democrats are our friends. They have always been, and they're the best friends we've ever had. Because some of y'all still out there singing the praises of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Lyndon Baines Johnson didn't like black people. The only reason why he voted for the Voting Rights Act and whatever back in the 1960s was to help his party gain an upper hand. That's all he did. Because it was rumored, he said, he made this quote, I'll have them N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. He even talked about uppity black people. We got to give them something. We got to give these uppity black people, these uppity Negroes, we got to give them something. Yeah, bring it, boy. The big switch is only one or two Dixiecrats who switched to the Republican Party. 93% of the Dixiecrats went back to the Democrat Party. But they'll tell you the Dixiecrats all went to the Republican Party. Once again, you're not studying. You're letting someone do your thinking for you without looking at the facts. And a lot of people, who's this lady, Fannie Lou Hamer or whatever her name is? They said she came over to the Democrat Party and the hateful black people, the hateful white people in the Democrat Party, they left and went to the Republican Party. I said, where you get that from? I don't see that anywhere. Fannie Lou Hamer, she was a black woman. She declared her loyalty to the Democrat Party, and the hateful white people in the Democrat Party, they left that party and went to the Republican Party. This is a crazy mess, people. This is a crazy mess. It's real crazy. Let me do this real quick. And folks, I know I seem a little long-winded today. I do. And you know, that's not really intentional, but I know I seem a little long-winded and whatever. And I'm gonna get to the phones eventually. It's gonna be kind of short, but I'm going to get to the phones. But folks, we need to open our eyes to what is really going on, and those of us who call ourselves black and Christian, you know, we need to stop it with the black rhetoric. We just need to stop it. Because too many of us, we're allowing our skin color to shine, but we're not allowing the light of the gospel to shine to a world. See, we're supposed to be different than people in the world. Just because we're black, that does not mean that we are supposed to hold to a black rhetoric, you know. And like I said before, a lot of us are going to end up in hell because we care more about our skin color and politics and civil rights than we do about the truth of God's word. If we would just preach the truth and allow the truth to do its work, if we allow God's word to do its work, it'll take care of the social justice issues. But we don't believe that because, you know, we got civil rights now. And civil rights is going to help God out in his word. No, God doesn't need your help. He told you to preach the word. He didn't say preach civil rights. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be speaking out against civil rights travesties. I'm not saying that. But we are so clung on to civil rights and black and white and everything, we totally miss the importance of God's word. Totally miss it. And a lot of us, like I said, a lot of us are going to end up in hell because we care more about our skin color than we do about God's word. And you can quote me on that. Getting something done here. Let me get this done here. I got to get something in. I didn't prepare like I should have today for the show. I really do hope folks are still getting something out of the program. I didn't prepare for the show like I should have. And that's on me, so. But I hopefully, like I said, I hopefully still got something that you can get, that you can glean from the program and whatever. But this is something that really concerns me. And I don't say this because I hate anybody or anything like that, or I'm just trying to, you know, come against black people because I don't like my race and all that. You know, I've been accused of all that. I've been accused of hating my race. I've been accused of being so critical of my race, but you're not really. Well, first of all, the reason why I'm so critical against my race, why I'm so critical against people in my race is because, well, they're in my race. This is my circle. This is my community. I'm a black person. And, you know, there's a term that says sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. Don't be pointing your fingers at me and telling me what I need to do, and you're not aware of the three more that are pointing back at you. You need to take care of business as an individual first, and then you can point out whatever travesty is going on with somebody else. But if you're ignoring your own problems and your own shortcomings, but you want to point out somebody else's shortcomings, that makes you a hypocrite. And there's too many hypocrites in the black race. I know people are going to hear this and they're, I'm sorry. But that's how I see it. And I believe what I'm saying is true. And this has nothing to do with me hating black people. You know, when I said I didn't care about Black History Month, some people probably say, oh, you don't care about black people. No, it has nothing to do with me caring about black people. I just don't think we should be shoving Black History Month down people's throats who don't want to hear it. Because black history is a part of all history. And, you know, folk going around talking about, well, they teaching us white history. And they're teaching us history. Y'all ever wonder why, too, that Black History Month is in the shortest month of the year? Y'all ever wonder about that? Not only is it just one month, but it's in the shortest month of the year. Why couldn't August been Black History Month? You know, and see, I don't relegate Black History to a month. I can learn about it all the time. I got several books about Booker T. Washington on my Kindle right now. I read one of them called Up from Slavery, which is one of the best books I think I ever read in my life. And I think if you want to talk about Black history and whatever, I think that book should be required reading for every black person. Up from Slavery. But let's see. Let me get this. Because I think the fruit bats are starting to come in. It's gotten dark outside, so it's time for the fruit bats to come in. So hope you all can hear that. Can you all hear that? Okay, just pretend you heard it. I didn't have my fruit bat siren set up, but hey, the fruit bats are out there somewhere. Uh-oh. Fruit bats ain't flying. And, you know, sorry for not having that sound up. I didn't have it up. I didn't have it queued up and whatever. But that's my fruit bat siren. You know, if you didn't hear it, just pretend you heard it. But that's the warning for those of you all who are on the phones, not to engage in character assassinations, excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, trolling, and things like that. So, but having said all that, let me pull up my first caller. And I think I know who this is.
Hey, Vincent.
Hello, welcome to the show.
I didn't hear the siren, but I'm still hearing the one from last week. I came running. Oh. How you doing there, young man?
I'm doing good. As you can tell, I'm on a rolling rant right now.
Hey, you're getting better. Pretty soon, you won't need no help.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, let me put something, get some things out the way real quick. Did you see the video on the January 6th down in the tunnel where this white woman got beat across the head with a stick? She was killed. Now they want to claim she was full of adrenaline.
Yeah.
She stumped in there. It was a black cop, female cop, the DC cop that beat her. And nothing is being said to any extent. Now, when people said that George Floyd was full of whatever he was that killed him, oh, no, that's just an excuse.
Yeah.
I just want to point
out
this double standard and this black privilege, especially females that we see all of a sudden. It's gotten totally, completely ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
Every issue. Was Breonna Taylor, who had a dead body, in a rental car truck? Where the hell did that dead body come from?
Exactly.
Yeah. Deontay
and
Wright.
Led to her getting fired.
Mm-hmm. Deontay Wright making a right turn out of the far left turn lane. Called the police to come after him. And the car he's driving got expired plate, his mama's car. He don't have no driver's license. He don't have no car insurance. And he got warrants on it. Now, what the heck you expect the outcome of all that is? He anticipates, he begins to be detained with the cuffs being put on. But all of a sudden he realized, man, mama's car getting ready to get towed. So he tries to get in the car and drive away, which he does do. And guess what? He has an accident. And people get hurt. I don't understand it, man. I really don't. And then in Louisiana, you got Bill Edwards, the governor, Democratic governor of a red state. Apparently, several years ago, you had a barber, a black barber, that was being chased by the highway patrol. And apparently, he had something wrong. But, Vincent, this man was driving over 100 miles an hour through residential neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And then when he crashes, and I think he had to suffer some internal injuries because he was bleeding from the mouth and everything else. Then they want to say that the police beat him. The governor said, well, it's my opinion that if he had been white, he wouldn't have been treated like that way. Well, let me tell you something, Vincent. If you came driving through my neighborhood 100 miles an hour like this individual did, and when I caught up with you, I sure in the hell wasn't going to offer you a bottle of water. I wasn't. That's totally ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
And look how these truckers are being treated up in Canada. You know how people say, well, if we was in Canada, we'd get free health care. Yeah, right. Canada is autocratic is what it is. First, GoFundMe stop letting you contribute to the truckers' cause. Then they come up with a different way, which circumvents GoFundMe. Now the parliament wants to say that method, that company, has no business operating in Canada. Now, what do you call that?
Sounds like socialism to me.
You're damn right. And I called in on a show before I called in on yours. Apparently, they was having something in a library in Las Vegas. And I listened to the speaker. Of course, you know, they put you in the green room and all that talk. And I told the man, I said, well, what this guy said is wrong. He's talking about, see, what they're trying to do is get black people registered to coerce them into getting registered, using all these fictitious statements and so forth, talking about in Georgia, the Georgia election, that they won't allow you to have water while you're waiting in line. Well, that is a lie. There's nothing in that reform bill that states that. But Negroes get away with this lying, man. They just lie to black people. They get a black audience and they lie. Trying to spur up emotion.
They hook, line, and sinker. They don't even
you know
it
they ain't going to go check it out.
Yeah,
then when they get registered, you want to tell them how to vote and who to vote for. That's the most ridiculous thing. And it goes on and on and on and on. On and on and on and on. I don't know what to say, Vincent.
Man.
Where's my friend Sarge? Is he around?
I don't know. I'm going to see if he's one of these callers that I got in my queue. I got a second one. I'm going to bring this one in, too. Hello, 864. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man? How's everybody
doing?
What's up, doing? Dude? It's Equanif. I definitely speak, I guess, for black people and Pianchi was just speaking. It called to my attention that I'm looking at some of the worst crimes ever in American history, you know, which brings us to some of the worst criminals ever in American history. Even a lot of times what's being brandished across the TV screen is that the Bloods and Crips are some of the most violent criminals or their gangs are at the top of the gang chain, but the most violent and the biggest gang there is oftentimes goes under the radar and has plenty of privileges, right? So even as we're saying, setting the atmosphere where one person could definitely get called down for not tying their shoe the right way, and where somebody else could, you know, because like in all the domestic terrorist case I know of and are familiar with, the majority of them, 9 times out of 10, 95% of the time, are going to be white men that commit these murders, right? But, you know, you don't really see them being apprehended with the same in the same manner, even with the level of atrocity they are committing and have committed, all right? So those are big issues. And it is very important as we're having this conversation that we, you know, speak honestly, because you don't want black folk to fabricate things and tell lies about something that is not true. But at the same time, you don't want someone, you know, not telling the full story as well. So I think even when we're saying that we are in this good old boy system that offers privileges to some folk, you know, and to some other people, definitely offers and extends the consequence, even if in the innocent of times. I think that's a big thing now that's going on as well. All of the black folk, Africans here in America, that have been wrongly convicted, right? And that actually being a system. You're kind of seeing those cases. So I think just speaking up for black folk in those terms is very important.
Okay, well, here's my thing. First of all, who would you say are the most privileged people in this country?
I think we could see where the statistics have been pointing to and have, you know, the stats definitely point in the direction of European white folks. Even white folks from other countries definitely come to this country and receive more privileges and benefits. And, you know, of course, for me and my people, are no black folk.
So you would say that people from other countries like Indians and Nigerians, they don't have some sort of privilege when they come over here?
Yeah, they do as well. They do as well. I've seen that. But the most privileged are the sons and daughters, the grandsons and the granddaughters of those folks that were the slave owners of yesterday, and it's been like that for quite some time.
Okay, so how do we determine who are the descendants? How do we determine who are the descendants of the slave owners, though?
Is it how do you determine?
Yeah.
Same way you can determine even with those people, the same way you can determine with those people that are the slave descendants, which their record keeping protocols weren't as intact as what the slave owners would be. You understand? But hell, even if Africans here in America can kind of trace back their experience, I know I can trace back their experience to certain plantations, to certain geographical locations. I'm pretty sure the same can be done if you do it with the European as well.
Okay, but see, what I'm saying is most white people didn't own slaves back in the slavery era.
I don't know.
A lot of black people did own slaves during the slavery era, and it'll behoove us to find out who the descendants of the slave owners were, as well as the descendants of slaves were. And we can't just determine that based on if someone is white or black or anything like that.
Right, but it will behoove us as to be conscious adults and engaging in American history, and we would have to be implementing and pridefully utilizing some type of ignorance, right? If we're going to say that even in those slave communications or the slave culture where the black, and we're talking about chattel slavery here, right? So we're talking about the consequences of slavery. You didn't ever see, it was never the situation where you're going to see brandished photos of black folk hanging black folk. Or now, even what we're talking about dealing with what we dealt with in Jim Crow. You understand? That was a specific group of people that were being taunted, that were being humiliated. You feel me? And a lot of times, the majority of the times, it wasn't the white folks that were standing up for, the rights of people that looked like me and you. It didn't give a damn if you were a red, if you were a Republican, if you were Masonic. They didn't give a fuck. They didn't give a damn. If you were black, you weren't. You know what I'm saying? So even in those cases where back in those times where you would be a fighter for this country and be in situations where prisoners of war, where you would be fighting against another country, the prisoners of war would be allotted more privileges and more rights than us as black. This is historical accounts. You understand? This can be proven. So when we're talking about this culture, this is something that actually still exists in the fabric in which we're discussing today. You understand?
Oh,
this is just the reality.
Okay.
This is the reality.
Going back
to domestic terrorism, because I heard what Pianki said, if somebody, a fool, drove through his neighborhood going 100 miles per hour. Now, this is a car, and I get very well what he's saying. But imagine if a guy comes into the neighborhood school with a rifle. And wonder why Charles Manson lived to tell the story. Dylan Roof lived to tell the story. When you're talking about the magnitudes of these atrocities in which they're committing and how so many black folk have been killed for a lot less.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of black people that have lived too. A good example is the DC snipers. They've lived to tell the story. So, it's really no discrimination in that front. But go ahead, Pianki.
Yeah, and good afternoon to you, Equani. I hope your daughter is getting big and causing you to have to buy a brand new pair of shoes every week. But you talk about Dylan Roof. What about Emmanuel Sampson in Tennessee? He came to an all-white church several times, and one time in 2017, he intended on killing 10 whites, which he did kill and wounded. He didn't kill 10, but he killed several, and he wounded many. He's lived. They don't heard about Brooks that ran his SUV through the parade of all whites in the one city. I forget which one it was. Was that Minneapolis? I'm not sure.
It was somewhere around that area.
Yeah, then he impregnates a 15-year-old girl in Nevada. Then he goes over to his neighbor house after he parks his car in the driveway with the bumper facing out in front and wants to get an Uber. So, no, these guys here, they still living. What about the kid there in the Texas school that was fighting a 13-year-old? He was a senior. Then after he gets through throwing the kid around, he goes out and gets a gun and comes back and shoots four people. This is a black kid. And there's many more. Now, can you admit that you're talking about human behavior?
No, he done dropped off, Bianchi.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he done dropped off. Yeah, yeah. Let me get this last caller in here. Because, you know, I mean, we could go all day. Yeah, that kid that shot up that school in Texas, you know, he
got out on a $75,000 bill. Then he comes home, they throw a big party for him.
And they throw a party for him, you know. So I don't know where they get this thing that, you know, black people they get killed for much less. I don't see the examples
anymore. That's called black privilege.
Yeah, exactly. Let me get this last caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. As if I don't know who this is. Mm-mm. My call is not responding.
Maybe you got his mic on mute.
I hear my echo back there, but...
Can
okay,
you hear me?
Uh-oh, there he is. I put him back on mute. Let me get him back up again. Ah, there we go. Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, let me say this real quick. Because, you know, I used to drive the big boy. They need to leave them guys alone and support them guys. It's wrong for them to take that cut that GoFundMe thing. Because let me tell you something. Trucking, it's a horror story out there. You got to deal with people at these places that you go to Lowe's. And one time I went to this place, and I got there maybe about a half an hour late, you know, and I didn't expect them to load me off at that time, but I got shut down for the whole day, and during that whole time, I did not make no money because the wheels were not moving. Truckers go through a lot. I mean, they raising the hell at us about me and other people about going into these stores and everything, and let me tell you, instance. I already told you this. I had 75,000 pounds or more. I had just left the terminal. I was less than 25 miles from the terminal. And it was a real sharp curve. It was so sharp, I had to break it down from 55 to 45. This SUV shot around the corner in the curve, came in front of me, and brake checked me. In other words, I had to come to a complete stop. Fortunately, I did. And I could tell you some other stories. But truckers go, I just gave you a couple of episodes. Truckers go through a whole lot on these shows. You know, I mean, they don't respect the truckers and anything. So being that I said that, though, I'm kudos. You know, I'm all for these truckers, you know, out there protesting and everything. Because let's face it, most time when stuff go into these stores, guess who brought them in? The big boy.
Hey, let me ask you a question, sir. Now,
yes,
there's going to be a protest convoy next month. And Homeland Security is already looking at it as being a terrorist operation. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? Since 9/11, people be looking at different situations. I mean, look at the security they're having at the Super Bowl tomorrow. You know, I think they should leave them alone.
I agree.
I understand that terrorists might... I understand the terrorists might get in there, but I don't think it's going to be.
No, they're looking like the truckers. No, it's not the terrorists. Just like they were looking at parents as being terrorists for going to school board meetings, holding their school board members accountable. Somebody's scrapping some papers.
Oh, that's me.
That's not me.
So the same thing, they looking at these truckers as being terrorists for what they're doing. Not associated with 9/11, but just because of what they're doing. And I think that is terrible. These people are protesting. They got a right to protest. The method is not harming anybody. And look at what the response is. It's totally, it's just total demonic.
Yeah, look, it's political.
Martin Luther King was about, do you have a problem marching? Keep it peaceful. And that's what these truckers are doing. You kind of missed that word. But I totally agree with what you said. These truckers are doing a nonviolent protest. We ain't trying to kill nobody. We're trying to be legal and nonviolent. And back in, going back to the way Martin Luther King thought about protesting, and you are correct. That is the model. You're supposed to be able to protest, and now they're going to have them, and they're going to try to break them up. And I wouldn't be surprised if you don't move out of here in the next 10 minutes or so. They're going to probably try to arrest some of them truckers. I'm through.
And yeah, that's another thing I've been noticing about the truckers. This thing is basically political. It's all political. You know, everybody's up in arms about what happened in January 6th of last year, and we don't want to repeat and everything. And now the Canadians are trying to take that talking point and plaster it on the truckers up there and trying to say, oh, we want to make sure they don't get violent and everything. But can anybody tell me, have you seen a business burn down or anything, or a bunch of people getting beat in the street or anything like that? I don't know, because I don't watch the whole thing or anything, but I haven't seen any businesses burned down or anyone getting beat by a random bunch of truckers or anything like that. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know everything.
No, let me speak on that. No, they have not do that, because if you got, let's say they loaded and you got 75,000 pounds on it, they can cause a lot of damage. No, nobody has lost their life, because some of these other ones were back about a year ago when they had George Floyd's other protests. No, it's just a people protest. So long as the people are peacefully protesting, there should be nobody getting arrested. They just exercising their right, which they should, and they can if they want to, exercise their privilege and their right as a human being to peacefully, and I mean peacefully, protest. But you can't even do that. They getting up in arms about it, which is wrong.
Yeah, and there's a rumor that some truckers are going to start something tomorrow during the Super Bowl. And even though that might be true, that sounds to me like someone's getting a little paranoid, and they're like, oh, they're going to do something in the Super Bowl. Oh, we got to make sure they don't get violent. We got to, nah. If they do something during the Super Bowl, I don't think it's going to get violent. You know, January the 6th of 2021 has raised the level of paranoia in the political pundits. And they want to use that to say, yeah, this is what these conservative people are doing. Look at what they're doing. These Trump supporters, you know, they're trying to push this mess. And I think it's all ridiculous. It's just pure ridiculous. Like I said, my wife has been watching the trucker convoy for the past week now. And, you know, I'm so sick and tired of her watching it, because, you know, I'm keep hearing all that. Burr, burr, burr. But you know what? Not one act of violence. I haven't seen one act of violence from those truckers yet. Not one. Now, you're going to get some bad apples, and you know, you might get a – and see, this is the thing about this. If one person does turn violent during this whole convoy protest and whatever, they're going to blow it out of proportion and say, oh, these people are so violent. You know, but you can sit there, and a reporter can sit there and make a report while buildings are burning behind them and sit there and say, this was a mostly peaceful protest. Yeah, okay, yeah. But one person go upside someone's head with a 2x4 and they're, oh, you see how violent they are? And they'll focus on that one moment, and they'll keep focusing on it, keep repeating it and doing their little edits and everything until people start believing, oh, yeah, that was so violent. That's why when I call bull crap on January 6th last year, because so many people think that was so violent, but all they did was concentrate on one moment, and they kept concentrating on it, kept putting that before the people, and now everyone thinks, oh, wow, that was worse than 9/11. Oh, that was worse than Black Lives Matter. No, it wasn't. You know, you just had a few people got out of hand, and now, and basically it's a political thing because, you know, it had something to do with Donald Trump, you know, and we have to make it look bad because this has to do with Donald Trump, you know, and that's all it is. It's a political thing. It's a political ploy.
I totally agree.
Yeah, and so, but anyway, how much? Oh, okay. I got about a minute and a half left in the show. I want to thank everybody for coming out. I don't know who the caller was that was before you, Iredale. You know, he's welcome to come back if he wants to. You know, we can sit here and debate and, you know, do things decently in order. But one thing I want to tell,
absolutely,
I want to talk to people about, I want to say this, and folks, you all know I'm a Christian, but if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? The reason why I'm doing this is because I was just at a funeral of a woman who died this past Tuesday, and they had her funeral this morning, and she was only 58 years old. She would have been 59 next month. And see, this is why I tell people death doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care how old you are, how young you are, how rich, how poor, you know, what prestige you have and everything. Your day is going to come. Now, if your day comes, where are you going to spend eternity? Is it going to be in heaven with the Lord, or is it going to be separated from the Lord? But that's just something I wanted to lay out there because, you know, every time someone passes away, it gets me to thinking like that, you know, and we can talk politics all day and everything and stuff like that. But the most important thing is your eternal security. But anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. And let you guys know next Saturday should have another edition of Black by Color Only. You're invited to come out, bring your friends, your family, your mama, your grandmama, whoever. And God willing, we'll do this. We'll rev this thing up again next week. But anyway, you all have a good Saturday. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all have a great Saturday.